Put your hands together for the Lord. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever and ever. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. As you take your seats, if you find in your Bible the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we'll get straight into the word. There's some passages of scripture I absolutely love, and there's some that I run away from. Is that the same with you? You got your favorite words and you're kind of like, oh man, I've got to flip past that one. Hallelujah. This is one of my favorite ones, Isaiah chapter 55. And we'll start from verse number 6. Let's start there. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him. And to our God he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God is in control.
God is in control.
When his word is in control.
When his word is in control.
If his word has control over your life, then he'll be in control over you.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Amen? That's what he's saying here in this scripture. He's saying, my thought, the way I think, isn't the way you think at all. You know, the kingdom of heaven, for instance, is four-dimensional, right? We think in three dimensions, but heaven thinks in four dimensions. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is high. It says, as high are the heavens above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, right? So that's height. How many of you know that there's a depth to God? That you may know the height, the length, the breadth, and the depth. So the kingdom of heaven is high, it's deep, it's wide, and it's far.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
So that's four dimensions. You remember that song, The Love of God is So Wonderful? Do you remember So High? You can't get over it. You know, the Bible says about having the faith as a child. All right, you can stop singing now. Somewhere you've reverted instantly. You're back at nursery, legs crossed, and love, wonderful love. The way God puts things together, we have to, if you like, push ourselves into his dimension. Push ourselves into his way of thinking. Does your thinking ever get in the way? My thinking, honestly, it gets, you know, I was sharing with somebody during the week. I said, you know, for instance, when my wife goes away, I use the time to experiment with my hair. Have you noticed? But it went a bit dark. This one was too dark there, and it was like, oh, God, what have I done? And I've been like, so I lay hands on my own head, and I try and like, rub it off, and it bite. This stuff doesn't come off, and then it gets on your hands as well. And people say, "Paul, what have you done?" You know, like your hands are brown. Hallelujah. But that's my thinking. I think, you know, I was fed up looking in the mirror and looking older than I felt. That ever happened to you?
No.
You feel young. I feel so young.
Yes.
But I look so old. So I had to do something with it, you know? But thank God, when we all get to heaven, it will be sorted in Jesus' name. Praise the living God. But it says here, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He says, as high as the heavens are above the earth. And in another scripture, it talks about the depth of the riches. He says, oh, the depth of the riches. Do you ever stand over something? I remember something in particular. We were on holiday in Spain, and there's a little island off Alicante. It's called Tabarca. And it's like one of them UN protected zones and all that kind of stuff. There's signs everywhere about how important this place is to marine life and stuff. And I remember sitting there with the kids, and we'd finished our picnic, and we had some stuff left over. And I thought, well, you know what, let's feed the tiddlers. Like, there's little tiddle fish there that come up in this little harbor area, this bay. And it doesn't look that deep, maybe 20, 30 feet or whatever. So we were, throwing in these little chunks of bread. And the next thing, Benji, of course, like Mr. Overload, he gets a bagel and he throws the whole bagel into the thing it looked like a rubber ring, like one of them lifesaver things, you know? And the bagel floated there for a while. The next thing, out of the deep, came the biggest fish that I've ever seen in my life. And it came up and whoosh, took that bait. Everything scattered. The fish were gone in case they were the victim rather than if this thing didn't get the bagel, he's getting a fish. And it was just the most amazing thing because you couldn't tell the depth until this thing had come up from the deep. And sometimes, you know, the love of God and the mercy of God and the power of God and the favor of God and the deliverance of God and the kindness of God is exactly the same way. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Those of you that have experienced, you know, for some reason, we've completely denigrated the word grace. Completely. We've used it until it's virtually worthless in our language. So you've got to go back to the original thing. The uncommon favor of God. Uncommon. The favor of God is unnatural. The mercy of God is unnatural. If I was God, oh my gosh, man, I would have machine gunned some people. Lord Jesus, it's like, thank God. Just turn to your neighbor and tell him, just thank God, Pastor P is not God. Brother, I would have made the Godfather look like St. Paul. You know, that's the truth. It's like, wow. My goodness, God's ways, they're way higher than ours, way higher. His favor. I remember laying hands on somebody. There was somebody that our family was close to. And, they had access into our family and the closeness of our family. And she went off and got herself pregnant. And, you know, I just like, I felt like she let down my children. Really, like that she'd let down my family and, you know, by just behaving in a sexual way outside of marriage. Because, like, we're no better than that. The Bible talks about, you know, people going around like, what does it call them in Romans 1? Unreasoning animals. So, you know, you see the way a dog behaves. Some people behave like that now. It's just weird. You know, a dog will go up and sniff another dog's bum and not think anything of it. And it's like, you see humans. Hey, I mean, it's not as base as sniffing bums off, and it's like, hey, baby. Okay, all right, we won't go there. But it's that kind of such is the moral decay, and this, you know, suddenly we're dealing with this situation, and I thought, you know what, hats off to her because she didn't run down to an abortion clinic and kill the baby. So she had the integrity of heart to keep the little one and to attempt to raise them. And I, you know, I deeply respect any mother who's been in a situation like that, particularly where their partner has run away and doesn't want to know as a result, because this is the day and age where you can go down to a clinic and just rip the child out and you think that nobody knows. And it's like somehow, oh, well, I got away with it, you know. But thank God for those who say, no, you know what, life is precious. I'm prophesying to somebody here. I don't know whether it's by TV or just by a podcast or Facebook or something like that. But I'm prophesying to somebody. You see, if you behave in a certain way and then you reap the rewards of your behavior by ending up in this situation, then two evils don't make a good. Do you see what I'm saying? And so, anyway, so suddenly this, I was in a prayer meeting, this particular person was standing there, and I wanted to just, like, goodness, how could you do that? How could you put us in this kind of situation? And I laid my hands on her, and suddenly the mercy of God just took over in a flash. I started to see it the way that God sees it. I started to see the situation from a completely, like, if you imagine, you take your world and then you bang, you tilt the thing so completely in a different direction that it even hardly looks like the same planet. That was the situation I was dealing with. And suddenly I'm looking at this thing and it's like, wow, everything has changed. And all of a sudden I started to prophesy about the goodness of God that was going to come into her life and the blessing of God and the favor of God. And it's like in my natural mind, I'm thinking, wow, like, what's this all about? Because what was coming out of my mouth by the Spirit of God in me was completely different to the, like, my pea brain, natural self thinking on the thing. And it was, wow, it was like I'm having this almost mind explosion right there. And suddenly the situation has completely changed. And then that scripture came to me. I think it's, what is it, Romans, let me see if I can find it. It's in the book of Romans, I think the 11th chapter, somewhere around there. Let me find it, and it's like, wow. And it's until you actually see something like that. Do you remember I was telling you about the fish that came up out of the water? That was suddenly, wow, the depth of this thing I never realized, right? Well, this was like this fish coming out from the middle of the water. Romans 11:33 it is. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Look at this. How unsearchable are his judgments and how unfathomable are his ways. And I was then the one who's having to repent. Do you see what I'm saying? Because the way I was looking at it was nothing like the way that God was seeing it. It was like, Jesus, sorry, Lord, I got this thing totally wrong. And I backed away. And I learned such a lesson that we should never, ever judge outwardly according to the flesh. Never. I mean, that thing silenced me. Silenced me. I thought, wow, gosh, Paolo, get your hair colored. Hallelujah to Jesus. And for some reason, you know the way, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but the way that God shows you a scripture, then you never forget that thing. Yeah. And every time you see that scripture, that particular thing comes to mind. Yeah. Every time I've read that scripture, that particular person comes to mind. And it's like, wow, God, I step back. If you've ever gone to the edge of a cliff and you look over it and it's like, oh my goodness, and you step back. Suddenly, that's how I was concerning the mind of Christ, concerning the goodness of God. It was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Praise Jesus for that. Praise God. The way it changes your mind. May God change your mind in Jesus' mighty name. And I just thought, you know, it's very easy for us to look at people in Scripture and then to see the way that they judge certain things and then see Jesus step in and think, oh yeah, I would have sided with Jesus. Do you know what I'm saying? But the way he thinks is so live. It's so instant. It's so on top of circumstances. It's so real that we continually have to, if you like, flush any form of religious thinking, any form of religious righteousness out of our lives. We've got to take that deep flush. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, flush in Jesus' mighty name. Flush in the name of Jesus. How unsearchable is his counsel? How unfathomable are his ways? I learned so much from just that one little experience. May you learn in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah to Jesus. Remember what I said, the kingdom of heaven is deep, it's wide, it's far, and it's high. Hallelujah. I want us to take a minute. I need to borrow three people. I want to give you a demonstration of something concerning the heart of God. I'm sharing with you this morning about the heart of our God. I want to borrow, let me borrow Chris and Yemi, and I need another big fella. Brother Yinka, come on. I thought of you this morning when Marla gave her testimony, because you got healed of varicose veins in the meeting where, do you remember that when you did, what was it, a half night of prayer, right? 13th of February. And people had come forward for prayer, and Yinka hadn't come forward because he was suffering from varicose veins. And he said, if I come forward, he said, Pastor P is going to accuse me of being overweight. And that's why I'm suffering from varicose veins. See, nothing gets past me, man. I'll tell you, I'm wired into your brains, right? And so he didn't come forward. But then Marla, by the word of knowledge, as she was praying for these people, she said, oh, and God is touching somebody in their seats right now. The Lord has told me he's touching somebody. Do you remember some of you were there at the half night? Those of you that don't attend the half night, I'm not talking to you right now. May the Lord forgive. Oh, sorry. How unfathomable are his ways. May God bless you exceedingly. You see how this has changed my I can't judge a soul, man. What's going on? So anyway, Yinka was sitting over there, and suddenly he felt, you've just felt your veins. What did you feel?
I just touched it and it felt it disappeared.
Wow. So he touched his leg where the varicose veins were, and they just disappeared. Isn't that good? Our God is wonderful, man. You see, this is where my thinking and God's thinking differs. You see, my solution, treadmill. Fasting. Juice. Every week, come and see Deeper here for Deeper Life Experience. Hallelujah. That would have been my solution. God's solution, you know, I feel good about Yinka today. Let's let the dude off, you know. Let's just, like, heal him. My goodness me. Right. I want to show you something, and this is something about the heart of God that I think the body of Christ, we caught hold of it. There's been certain moves of God where we've caught hold of the agenda of God for the earth, and then we pulled away from it slightly, right? And I want to demonstrate, if you have your Bible, if you turn to Amos chapter 7, verse 1, let's stand these guys up here. You can stand here, right? You can stand here, hear me? And you can stand here, Yinka. Right, great. Thank you. Now, I want this man here to represent supplication. Say supplication.
Supplication.
Ready? What does he represent?
Supplication.
Okay. This guy represents reason. Reason, okay? And this guy represents change. Now, that's not a prophecy. God has forgiven thee of thy portliness. Okay. Right. Now, look at what it says here in Amos 7. This is an insight into the heart of God, into how God thinks, right? Do you remember the first scripture we looked at was Isaiah 55? And he says, just as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways high above your. My thoughts are way higher than your thoughts, right? Now, here's a story from Amos. This is a vision that Amos has while he is prophesying. And Amos was a very interesting prophet because of the time that he was around in. He was in the kind of Jeremiah stage of life. But I want you to see this right now. He says, thus the Lord God showed me, and behold, he was forming a locust swarm when the spring crop began to sprout. Now, for those of you who have come from farming backgrounds, particularly in the African continent, when locusts swarm at a particular time of year, the wind can carry those things and they can decimate a crop within hours. It can absolutely, it's the difference between eating and starving for a nation back then at this time, right? So here comes these locusts. When the spring crop began to sprout, behold, the spring crop was after the king's mowing. Watch this, verse 2. And it came about, when it had finished eating the vegetation of the land, that I said, Lord God, please pardon. What's that? That's supplication, right? What is it?
Supplication.
Supplication. That's when you bring a petition to somebody. You are supplicating. You are asking them something. Please change your mind, he's saying, right? Oh, Lord, please pardon, right? Now, this is reason, the next one. He says, how can Jacob stand because he is small? Verse 2. How can Jacob stand because he is small. In other words, this nation, this fledgling nation called Israel, it's not going to be able to withstand a devastating locust swarm. It's going to eat the crops. It's going to bankrupt the nation, right? Look at verse 3. The Lord changed his mind about this. It shall not be, said the Lord, right? So there's the first lot, supplication, reason, and change, okay? Now the next verse, verse 4. Thus the Lord God showed me. So this is the second thing that God is showing them. Thus the Lord God showed me, and behold, the Lord God was calling to contend with them by fire. And it consumed the great deep, and it began to consume the farmland. Verse 5. Then I said, Lord, please stop. What's that?
Supplication.
How can Jacob stand, for he is small? What's that?
Reason.
Right? Next verse. The Lord changed his mind about this. This too shall not be, said the Lord. Right? Now, remember, we're dealing with the mind of God versus the mind of man. Okay, next verse. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord was standing by a vertical wall with a plumb line in his hand. Next verse. The Lord said to me, what do you see, Amos? I said, I see a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I'm about to put a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. Verse 9. The high places of Isaac will be desolated, the sanctuaries of Israel laid waste. Then I will rise up against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent word to Jeroboam, king of etc. Amos has conspired against you. Now, that scripture, that prophecy, backfired on Amos. He heard the word of the Lord, he prophesied it, and the thing backfired on him, right? So for two out of the three things that God showed him, do you remember? He said locusts, fire, and then a plumb line. In other words, like the measure of God is going to be struck across this thing, right? For the first two, there was what? Supplication, reason, and change. For the third one, the plumb line, right? There was what? No supplication. There was no reason. And as a result, there was no change. Do you see what I'm saying here? Put your hands together for these three guys, please. You see, somehow, and I don't quite understand why, I don't quite get what God gets from it. I have a glimpse of it. I have an inclination towards why God needs our supplication. Why he needs us to reason with him. Do you remember that? Isaiah 1 verse 6, I think it is. Come and let us reason together. Though your sins be red as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. I don't know why God needs us to reason. I don't know why he needs us to supplicate. But even in the time of Abraham, do you remember the great city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and even the cities round about, the Bible records, that God went to Abraham and he said, I'm going to destroy these places. These guys are engaged in all kinds of gross immorality. And for the sake of my people, I'm going to destroy these cities with fire and brimstone. And Abraham started to negotiate with God. And he got him down to even 10 righteous. Even if there's 10 righteous in the city, that God would save the city. And I don't quite know, like, why? If God's going to destroy it, well, Lord, go ahead, destroy it. But there's something about it. It's almost like the heart of compassion that he sees in man reminds him of the compassion that he contains within himself. It's very powerful stuff. That's why I never take our prayer meetings lightly. I always want us to bust through in the atmosphere. I want us to get through into those high places where we can then stand before God. This nation needs prayer, man. Woo! This nation needs prayer. It needs somebody to stand up before the Lord and say, Lord, please don't. Please don't give us what we deserve. Lord, because of your mercy and your loving kindness, give us what we don't deserve. You see, this is more like to get into that kind of level, you'll have had to have left me-anity behind. So this is now Christianity. This is where we are standing on behalf of the Lord and saying, Lord, please stop. How can this nation know it's right from its left? It's amazing what God will even tell you. The intel that God will give you when you start to intercede for a nation. The intel that God will give you so that you can give it back to him so that he can pour out his mercy is just you remember I'm talking about how unfathomable are his ways? God led me through in the early 1900s. You know, there was a move of the Holy Spirit in this nation that there was literally a church on every street corner. The Salvation Army, move of God. It was a tremendous move of the Holy Spirit. The late 1800s, the early 1900s. Even my grandmother was in that move of God. And she was a fag chugging, you know, who knows what kind of, you know, I'll leave that between her and God. How unfathomable are his ways. Hallelujah. And my mum remembers being taken by her mum to the Salvation Army Hall. And virtually anyone that you speak to in the UK, if they've had a grandmother or a great-grandmother or grandfather, great-grandfather, they were in that move of God. So profound was that move of God. And the way that the devil ended it was that he made us put on a different uniform. So we all joined the army and went off to war, and many of them came back gassed, maimed, emotionally traumatized. That's where post-traumatic stress disorder was first seen. That literally, I mean, a child could, you know, would be playing with their toy and the toy would run into the wall, and suddenly the dad is back in the trenches and there's bombs going off and there's all kinds of stuff. And it's like it's changed the whole thing. The dad can't relate to the, so the kid's got to get out of the house. And that's where street corners started. That's where gang culture started in the UK. Was after World War I. Fatherless, hundreds of thousands of homes, fatherless. No father in the house, the mother trying to raise her. And then 30 years later, we went to war again. And the same thing happened. I mean, like, by the time the end of World War II came, the thinking of all the like great philosophers and everything like that of the 20th century was that basically God died in World War II. Such was the inhumanity uncovered and the demonic onslaught by the devil to just end everything. And so you had two generations. You see, the devil always tries to embed things in three generations. He learned it from God. Because if you can establish something in three generations, it's there virtually forever. You've got the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob generation. You see, Abraham's the pioneer. Then you've got Isaac, the obeyer. And then you've got Jacob, the multiplier. And once it multiplies through Jacob, it's culture, basically. It talks about it in the book of Deuteronomy about sins lasting 3 to 4 generations. Do you see what I mean? A curse can last 3 to 4 generations. Why? Because that thing is rooted. Is very difficult to uproot. And that's what the devil was trying in this nation. And so then, you know, we stand on behalf of this nation, but when I'm in prayer, that's what I think of. I put a picture up on Facebook. I don't know if many of you saw it. It was just a little picture. I was out walking Sticky the dog during the week, and the wind was blowing, and there was this little sort of ancient Norman church and a little cottage in the back. If you're friends of mine on Facebook, you'll see it. And I just captured, I called it Beautiful England. And it's just a beautiful picture. Anyone seen that? There's a few of you have seen it. And there's just something so beautiful about this nation. So when I'm standing before God, I'm remembering these things. I'm remembering how the devil took that move out. There wasn't a brass band in the country that wasn't a Salvation Army band. And now they all belong to trade unions. The National Union of Mine Workers has got more brass bands than the Body of Christ now in Britain. And they were all Christian, every single one of them. It's remarkable. May God give us a brass band revival in Jesus' mighty name. I like that. I don't know. There's something about it. I don't know why. That's Brits. We're kind of strange, you know. But then it's like, wow, I started to see differently. You know, one of the things that this general election that's just happened was so good for me was because, wow, maybe God thinks differently about this nation. Maybe our prayers are breaking through in that what could have been a lot of the chaos and the turmoil and everything like that, whether you believe in whoever got in or not, that's not the issue. It was the uncertainty. You know, the Lord told me at the beginning of the year that we would enter a period of uncertainty. I saw the big letter U over the number 2015, that it would be a year of uncertainty. It was like, oh, gosh. And now look at this thing. But somehow, it's like the waters have calmed. I remember some of you may have seen it on Facebook when David Cameron went to the Festival of Life down in the XL Arena. Did you see that for the Redeemed? And they had him there. And I know, you see, they have a tradition at the Redeemed. Anyone who comes to speak there, because Boris Johnson did it before Boris got re-elected. Anyone who needs re-election, they should just go down and let Daddy Gio and all those guys lay hands. And there's a powerful oil on that man's head. And so anyway, he went down. You see, after David Cameron gave that speech, if what they did with Bojo was the same, and I believe it is. I believe it's one of their traditions there. Then they will have gathered around David Cameron and prayed for him and laid hands on him. And it's amazing, you know, that point of contact. You think of the scallywags and scoundrels in Scripture, transformed by the mercy of God. A man who, with all the veracity and all of the hatred for God's people. You imagine the jihadi John of his day becoming Paul the Apostle. Whoo! Wow! How unfathomable. I said, sometimes God just looks for the most unlikely individual you can imagine. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God likes to achieve the impossible by using the improbable. You see, so if you look like a really improbable candidate for something I did, two O levels, one CSE, what was that? Art, French, and CSE physics. So I could go to France, I could go to France and become an artist and, I don't know, fix light bulbs or something. That was going to be my career path, according to what the educators of the day will have said. I remember going to the careers advice. Did anyone go careers advice? Did you have a careers advisor at school? My one laughed at me. Said, okay, Royal Mail and the police. And I got turned down by both. I think it was the size of my feet for Royal Mail. I don't know why. And the police, they just said, oh, please, come on. You live in Tottenham. That's that end of story, right? So, but God somehow puts his hand on a person, bam, puts his oil on their head, and up like a rocket they go. Unfathomable. I mean, you are looking at somebody who is a product of the unfathomability of God's ways. I know for many of you too, that's your story. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's where, you see, you know, give me a scallywag, like a proper one. I don't mean a half scallywag, half nice person. You know, they usually end up like self-righteous. And they get me a scumbag from hell. And watch what God can do. That's what I love. I'm convinced in life that some of you haven't been bad enough in life. You need to go away and do armed robbery and then come back. No, I'm joking. That's a joke. That is a joke. Pastor P is not advocating any kind of criminality. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see, but there's something about it. The way that we think even about our salvation, you see, we think that we're saved because we go to church, or we think that we're saved because we're tithers, or we think that we're saved because of this and that and the other, and we're really nice and good. But when things boil down to it, when they distill in the distillery of life, the kingdom of heaven is very, very simple. Look what it says. This scripture has been following me all week, and I just want to share it with you right now. 1 John chapter 3, I absolutely love this scripture. You see, the word that God gave me concerning this particular scripture, he called it heaven's passport. Heaven's passport. You know that you have access to a country, you either need a passport or a visa or like permanent leave or anything like that. You know, it's like when I took Junior to India, I said, Junior, they are going to let you back in, aren't they? He said, oh, yes, Daddy. He said, I've got permanent leave to remain. Amen. So he's got a piece of paper that says he is allowed to come and go from the UK permanently, right? Now, this is heaven's passport. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. I love this scripture. See, it doesn't say we believe, right? It doesn't say that we think or we assume. There's something a lot more solid than that in this scripture. Look at what it says here. He says, we know. How do you know you're allowed back in the country, Junior? Oh, I've got leave to remain. I've got the piece of paper. Of itself, the piece of paper is worthless, but the thing and the stamp and the veracity of the paper, the authenticity of it, is what grants him the right of re-entry, right? We know that we have passed out of death into life. I'm not assuming that I'm going to heaven when I die. I know that I'm going to heaven when I, without any tinge of doubt whatsoever in my heart. The Bible says when we are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. That's it. In fact, you know, my hand movement there, you know, the ISIS chop. When we are absent from the body, what? We are present with the Lord. Look at what he says here. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. In other words, the love of God that God has put in your heart for one another is actually heaven's passport. Wow. So many times, you know, we think we're doing our brother or our sister a favor, right? When we do something for them, or, I don't know, we cook for them. Marcella, you are the most wonderful cook in the world. May the Lord inspire you for red stew and plantain in my house in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sorry, that just totally came on. I don't know where that came from. But glory to God forever anyway. You see, when we forgive somebody, right? Somebody's done us wrong, messed up, blown it or whatever. And we forgive them with, you know, like proper forgiveness. Not, oh yeah, yeah. You understand? Oh, bless you, brother. Yeah. What's that? That's like one of them fish, you know, when the fish is about to die and it's like the dying breath of a fish kind of hug. No, like a loving genuinity of forgiveness. Somebody's blown it to bits and it doesn't matter. It's okay. It's all right. You are forgiven. That's heaven's passport. I love that. Do you remember what I was saying earlier? How unfathomable are his ways. You see, it's only until the big things come up from the deep that you know how deep. Wow. Amen. Amen. It's only when I remember another thing, you know, the way that God showed me this four dimensions of heaven. He showed me I was walking along through a country field one day. A beautiful summer's day, and I heard this bird sing, this sort of bird, and I was looking around for this thing to see if I could see it, because it was like, I don't know, it felt like it was really sort of nearby because it was so loud. I looked up and there was this lark. Do you know what a lark is? You know that type of bird, the lark? And this thing was so high. This thing was hundreds of feet up, and yet the noise was so pure and so beautiful. How unfathomable are his ways. We do not understand or comprehend the ways of God at all. We can grasp them by revelation. The Bible says that we've been given the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 26. So we should attempt to try and answer or try and understand some of these things that we see and some of these things that we perceive or conceive. But it has to be by the Spirit of God that he shows these things to you. It's just unfathomable, the height of this thing, the depth of this thing, how wide it is and how far it goes. Wow. I thank God for his loving kindness. Amen. Bible says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And his loving kindness or his mercies endureth forever. Hallelujah. This is heaven's passport, folks. Heaven's passport, the love that God has planted in you. And actually, let's stand to our feet and thank God for his love right now. And I just close by saying this. You know, one guy described it this way. He said, you remember when your children were small and your birthday was coming up? And you would give them, how many of you, you've got children? And your birthday's coming up. So what you do is you give your children some money so that they can then go out and buy you a present, right? Well, the Bible says, beloved, let us love one another because love comes from God, right? God is love, it says in 1 John 4, 8 and 16, right? So this kind of thing that God gives us, this substance called love, originates from him. He plants it in us so that we can give it back to him and to one another. And love should always be the motive of our supplication. Because when you are giving supplication to God, when you're presenting supplications, whether it be on behalf of your family, your marriage, your children, your business, your finances, your friends, some of the most powerful prayers I've ever had answered have been on behalf of friends who just called me and told me something that had happened. People who don't even know the Lord. I remember one particular guy I worked with at Lloyds Bank, and he told me about a situation where the job that he'd gone for after he worked for the bank had just totally collapsed. And I called upon the Lord for him. I don't even know why. I just liked the dude. That was it. Doesn't know Jesus. And the way God answered, I said, God, hey, don't forget me. I mean, the way God answered that prayer. How unfathomable, how unsearchable is our Lord. How unfathomable are his ways. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. The Lord God, this love that you have baptized us with may overflow in our lives and in the lives of those around us, Heavenly Father. That when we stand on behalf of our families, our friends, Lord God, those things that are near and dear to us, the Lord God, when we stand in that place of supplication and when we reason with you, Lord God, the Father, we may never give up. Lord God, 2 out of 3 times Amos supplicated. He reasoned with you and change came. But the third time, Lord, he left it. There was no supplication. And there was no reason. And as a result, you didn't change your mind. And you went out about against that king, Jeroboam, and the rest is history. But Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, we pray, Father. We pray for this land. Lift its leaders to you, God. Let your banner be raised. Let your glory be seen once again in this land. Father, let the tide turn. Let the floodgates of heaven be opened once again in this land. Let this land see and know that our God reigns. Let this land once again take its place as a precious jewel in your crown, Heavenly Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your banner be raised, God. The values, Lord, that this nation upheld have gone around the world, Lord God. The sense of justice, Lord God, that this nation birthed for the earth, Father. Remember us, Lord God. Remember us, Father. Demonstrate your mercy once again in this land, we pray, Father. In the name of Jesus, let your banner be raised. Let your glory be seen. Let the people see and know that our God reigns, that he lives, and that he rules in the affairs of men. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord God. We give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Thank you, Lord God.